Take your Bibles, if you would, to John chapter 20. We've been talking the last 3 weeks about Jesus. And I thought that was extremely appropriate for this time of year to, of course, speak on that subject. So if you'll remember back to the first Sunday in December, we talked about Jesus the King. And last week we talked about Jesus the servant of God and Jesus the Son of Man. And today we're going to kind of cap things off by speaking about Jesus, the Son of God. The Son of God. So if you have your place there in John chapter 20, if you'll stand, if you are physically able, out of love and respect for the Word of God. John chapter 20, we're going to begin in verse 24 and read down through verse 31. And you'll read the even verses along with me, and I'll read the odd verses by myself. Here in John chapter 20, and beginning altogether in verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Boy, if you have something memorized in Scripture, you ought to memorize that verse. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. I just want to present to you today Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This picture in the book of Matthew to show forth the different attributes that Jesus Christ has and possesses. And I hope that you have thought about Jesus Christ as King in your life. Because you know what kings deserve, right? They deserve reverence. They deserve obedience. They deserve servants and people under them to serve them and to honor them and praise them and, if you will, in his case, worship. You see, the king is an important part of someone's life. Is he all important to you? And as we look at the book of Mark and we read through the book of Mark and we don't see any kind of genealogy because a servant doesn't really have a genealogy, if you will. They're just kind of they're a servant, you know. They don't have that status that a king might have. And as we look at, and we see how Mark presents Jesus as the servant of God, coming to proclaim the kingdom of God and to do for the kingdom of God and for the master, the one who sent him to accomplish a task. He said, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. I've come to do the work of him that sent me. And you know what? We ought to be the same way. You see, Jesus is not one of those authorities that will tell you to do something and then not be willing to do it himself. He's given us that example of being the servant of all. And then in the book of Luke, last Sunday, we saw Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. We saw some of the
things that Jesus went through in his physical side. You know, Jesus Christ was God and man at the same time. He suffered those things that we suffered. He went through hunger. He went through pain. He went through temptations. He went through difficulties. Hey, he went through sorrow in his life here on this earth. And the Bible tells us that he was tempted in all points as we are. He understands our infirmities. He's been through them all. Hey, listen, how hard do you think it was for him to be up on that cross and not kill every one of those sorry suckers? I mean, come on. Right? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You understand that we have all these wonderful pictures. And then we come to the book of John, the last of these four gospels, as they're called. And I love the beginning of it, because once again, no genealogy, just like Mark, but rather something better than a genealogy, a description. If you look at John chapter 1 and verse 1, we see better than a genealogy, but this thing of who this Christ, this Jesus is, very simply put, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You understand that this thing of Jesus Christ, the capital W Word of God. You know, boy, that just ought to send shivers down your spine. What a writing about an individual, who he is, and we ought to pay attention to that. You see, God said that all things were made by him. God said he's the light. He's the life and the light of men. That he came to this world, and the world knew him not, even though it was made by him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. We're going to give in this presentation of Jesus Christ, well, not so much as the king, and he is. And not so much as the servant of God, and he is. And not so much the son of man, which he is. But rather, the son of God. And can I tell you something? As we kind of look through this thing, that's kind of what got the goat of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. That he said he was the Son of God. They didn't like that. Oh, they didn't like that at all. You understand, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Take flip a few, maybe a page or two, over to verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not. But that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and I bear record that this is the Son of God. John was the one foretold who was called to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. We know that this record and John bear witness of him in verse 15 of chapter 1, crying and saying that he was of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. You understand that John bare this record. God told him what would happen and what would be to come. And Jesus came just as was promised. Look at verse 43 in the same chapter. Man, if all you do is read chapter 1, you get an idea of what we're talking about. Look at verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. You know, as these disciples came, and Andrew, of course, declared that they had found the Messiah and told Peter, his brother. And they came and followed him. And as Jesus began to call out the 12, and he began to call them by name, if you will, and these experiences that they had, they knew he was the Son of God. They knew he was the Son of God. Do you know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Hey, ladies and gentlemen, he's been presented to us here very, very delicately in chapter 1 as not just the King, not just the Savior of the world, not just the servant of God, not just the Son of Man, but truly the Son of God. Is he the Son of God to you? Does that ring true in your heart? Have you experienced his introduction and presentation in your life? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 3. We're now nearing the end of John's ministry. John the Baptist. And we see kind of his passing off of this mantle, if you will, and we see Jesus Christ coming into his fullness of his ministry. John says in verse 30, he must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly. And speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. What a wonderful thing that Jesus Christ has come. The Son of God, the Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And hath given all, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I think Jesus Christ was very adequately presented as the Son of God in these introductory passages here in the book of John. Let's take a look at John chapter 3 and verse 1. Not only was his presentation adequate, but can I tell you something? His preaching was adequate. Amen. And more so. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now I want you just to pay attention very quickly here. Nicodemus is, you know, inquisitive. He's talking to Jesus and he's willing to admit that he's a teacher come from God. Because nobody could do these things unless they were sent from God. But you see, Jesus kind of sidestepped that compliment, didn't he? He didn't answer that. He didn't say, well, of course I'm a teacher come from God and God has given me the power to do these miracles because I am God. He didn't come out and say that, did he? But rather, he got to the point that Nicodemus needed to be saved. That there was only one way to the kingdom of God. That's through a new birth. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nowhere in verses 1 and 2 does it show that Nicodemus asked that question. I mean, Nicodemus was a religious ruler. He was very well educated in these spiritual things. He just said, hey, we know you're a teacher come from God. And he came to him by night. He never asked this question. But can I tell you something? I think it was in him. I think it was in him. And Jesus knew it. How could he do that? He's the Son of God. That's how. And he got right to the point, didn't he? Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen. And ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe? If I tell you of heavenly things, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see, you understand that his preaching was focused on the Father and the Son relationship. being born again into the family of God through God the Son. You understand that Jesus Christ, as the Son of God, was a powerful preacher. And we hear some, you can go through chapter after chapter after chapter and see the Son of God presenting God's way of salvation. When we, as witnesses of these things, share the Word of God with folks, we present Jesus Christ as the Son of God. You see, Jesus himself said, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." His only begotten Son. That's how he was presented, isn't it? And that's how we ought to present him. Jesus Christ, throughout the scriptures here in the book of John, constantly refers to himself as the Son of God. And that's what the Pharisees hated him for. They hated that. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Just a little side note. I love what Jesus said to Nicodemus. "You're a ruler of Israel. Don't you know these things?" You're supposed to know. Some people think that Jesus was maybe dry and not a very good speaker. I think he has a good, wonderful sense of humor. Absolutely. Look at John chapter 5. Look at verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead, and quickeneth them, even so the Son will quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And he hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of my own self do nothing as I hear. I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true." You understand that as he goes through and he's talking about this relationship that he has with his Father, the Father and the Son, Jesus was very clear in his preaching that he was doing the work of God and only could do the work of God because he was the Son of God. He's following God's example, God's commands, God's will for his life. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 9. Jesus endured a lot of grief and questions and tricks by the Pharisees and Sadducees. And even in this case, we have Jesus in the first part of this chapter, healing a blind man. Someone who was born blind, and he healed him. And Jesus went along and continued on his way, and the Pharisees got a hold of this guy. And they began to grill him and question him and all these different things that he went through. And he's like, hey, I'm not sure who this guy is, if he's of God or not. He said, but it seems to me that he would be, because if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. You know, he just kind of gave this testimony. So Jesus catches up with him later on. And if you look at chapter 9 and look at verse 30, the man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshipper of God, and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. That's kind of the attitude that these Pharisees kind of had, right? They're a little bit of a high and mighty, proud kind of thing. And look at verse 35, though. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? What a question. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? This is an amazing story. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. You see, it's simply that simple. Jesus calls it a childlike faith, isn't it? You understand, this man knew more than the Pharisees knew. He said, no, he didn't. He was an unlearned, a blind man, probably uneducated. Oh, but I say again, he knew more than the Pharisees knew. He knew Jesus. He had witnessed what he had done to him and for him. And he said, I believe. You see, as we have an opportunity to witness, we ought to portray Jesus as the Son of God. We know that God sent his Son to give us eternal life because he so loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Take your Bibles and look at John chapter 10, just a few pages across here, and look at verse 25. John chapter 10 and verse 25. Again, Jesus answering some questions about himself and his ministry. In verse 24, it says, then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. And listen, let me just say something about this verse. He had been telling them plainly. They just weren't listening plainly. Look at verse 25. Jesus answered them, I told you. You know, isn't that just perfect? I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. It's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Son of God. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. They didn't like that, did they? And that's why, as we go to John chapter 18, they found a way to come against him. And if you will, to crucify God. Those that were supposed to be the ones that believed in God and followed God. One verse before we begin here in John 18. In John 11, as Jesus was talking to Mary and Martha, he said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. That's who he is. The Christ, the Son of God. Are you there in John 18? Look at verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Cedron, where there was a garden, into the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing that all things should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. You got to have imagination here, folks. I kind of think he's kind of toying with them a little bit. You know, kind of like that little, the cat kind of plays with the mouse before he eats them, you know, kind of thing. Yeah. I mean, he said, I am he. I mean, just the speaking of that sent them falling down backwards to the ground. But we know that he did allow them to take him. And yes, I said it that way on purpose. They didn't take him of their own power, I'll tell you that. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. Now, perspective, folks. Jesus, with his words, sent them sprawling backwards. And Peter is going to save Jesus by cutting off the ear of a servant. Either he was a terrible shot. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he didn't know how to swing that thing right. He was a fisherman, right? Maybe he thought it was a pole. You cast it out there like this. He wasn't a soldier. But I like his spunk, if you will. But Simon Peter drew the sword and smote the high priest's servant's ear, cut off his right ear, and the servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? He was resolved. Resolved to go to the cross. Because remember, in the garden he prayed, Father, not my will, but thine. You understand that as Jesus went forth as the Son of God, he was a good son. One that followed directions and was in obedience to his Father. You know, we have a lot to learn from Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And in John chapter 19, as Pilate was speaking with Jesus, He took him and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him with their hands. And Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him." Then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests therefore and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate saith unto them, "Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, "Whence art thou?" And Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, "Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and to have power to release thee?" Now listen, put yourself in Pilate's shoes. Very interesting experience, isn't it? And when he heard that the chief priest said that he made himself be the Son of God, Pilate was afraid. His wife warned him not to deal with this guy. Jesus answered, "Thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." Later on in this chapter, in verse 28, it says, "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things now were accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head, and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first, and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he saw, he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, A bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, They shall look on him whom they pierced." We know that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, had to die for us, to pay for our sin. God himself, the Lamb. You know, Abram, when he was up on that mountain, he said to his son, God will provide himself a lamb. God will provide the sacrifice. Father, where's the sacrifice? We're here. We've got the wood. We've got the knife. God did it, folks. He did it for us. And as God turned his back on his son, who had taken upon himself the sins of the world, he was crucified. He died and he was buried. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 20. Aren't you glad the story doesn't end there? Son of God rose from the dead. Look at verse 11. In John chapter 20. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked to the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet. where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and your Father, and to my God, and your God. You understand that we see Jesus Christ risen from the dead, continuing to do the work of the Father as a Son ought to do. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We know that God sent his Son. We know that he sent him to accomplish a task. And he did so with great perfection. One last scripture in John 21. Look at verse 10. You know, Jesus Christ, being the Son of God, would not leave things undone. Peter, who was more zealous than maybe smart, got himself into a mess of trouble, didn't he? But as we see here, Jesus comes back. And after Peter kind of led the other disciples a little bit astray and went to fishing, they cast their net on the other side and brought in the fish, and Simon Peter and Jesus had a little meeting. In verse 12, Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This now is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. After that, he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him, The third time, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. You understand that Jesus wants us to be successful. He doesn't want us to live a life shipwrecked, backslidden, away from him. He wants to restore us, fulfill us, bring us into line with what he wants for us to accomplish and what his Father wants for us to accomplish. He wanted his disciples to follow him, to do his will for their life. He wants the same of us, just as the Father wanted that of the Son. You understand that so far, we've seen Jesus Christ the King. Jesus Christ the Servant of God. Jesus Christ the Son of Man. And now Jesus Christ the Son of God. If you go back to what we read as our text, just right there, just above this passage of Scripture here, in verse 31. There's a purpose for all of this. The story of Jesus, presented in four quite different ways. If you've ever wondered why there are four Gospels, that's the reason why. It's the presentation of Jesus the King, Jesus the servant of God, Jesus the Son of Man, and Jesus the Son of God. But all these have a purpose. What's the purpose? But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. The reason of the season? It's Jesus. It's called Christmas for a reason. Those that take him out, they're missing it, aren't they? Well, we have an opportunity, just like I said in John chapter 1, to shine that light into this dark world. Because sometimes they just don't see it, do they? But we have an opportunity to show them. Jesus Christ, the Son of God.